We are back on the Bengals BBP Extra this week, talking to Austin Gale from PFF. Austin, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Plenty to get to when we get to the Bengals and Baltimore Ravens. The Bengals still looking for win number one of the season. We're going to get to all of that in just a moment after bye week has ended. I want to get to the quarterback matchup, and I'm talking quarterbacks in college football. Tua versus Burrow. What are we going to see this weekend?
Yeah, starting with Tua Tagovailoa, I think the biggest thing I'm looking forward to for this one is he's going against a legit NFL-level defense. Grant Delpit, the safety, should be a top 10 pick in the 2020 NFL draft, and both of the man corners, and they play a ton of man at LSU. Derek Stingley, an underclassman, and Christian Fulton are two of the better cornerbacks in the country. Tua Tagovailoa is going to have to make NFL throws deep down the field into tight windows, courtesy of man coverage, to win this football game. He has great wide receivers. They'll create some separation, but he's going to need to play a game he just simply hasn't played this year to win it, and I think that's what you're most looking forward to as an evaluator. You need to project those NFL throws, project that performance in the NFL. If you're going to feel confident about Tua Tagovailoa, he's going to need to show that in this game, and if it's good, it really cements his status as a top three pick. But if it's bad, it is a red flag to where you know maybe the Alabama offense is creating a lot of box score production for him, because right now he hasn't had to push the ball downfield, force it into tight windows. Everything's been kind of spoon fed to him with that offense and that receiving core. This is a game that scouts will mark on their calendar, watch over and over again to really evaluate both Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow.
You talk about scouts. I wouldn't be surprised if Duke Tobin is in attendance. He's actually ready to watch Joe Burrow this season. Not sure about Tua. I know before the season, all eyes were pretty much on Tua, but Joe Burrow is really setting himself up as if the Bengals were picking today, they could pick up number one.
Bomb for Burrow is full force right now. I think Joe Burrow has had one of the best, years of the in among all quarterbacks. He ranks right now second in PFF passing grade behind Ohio State's Justin Fields. He has taken a significant step forward compared to his 2018 season. And unlike Tua Tagovailoa, his grade is largely inflated by great NFL throws. These throws that are 10 plus yards down the field, into tight windows, deep down the field. Those are the ones you love to see as an evaluator trying to project him to the next level, because those are the throws you need to make in the NFL to win football games. And he's made a ton of them at LSU. And he's had some help. Jamar Chase is one of the better underclassmen receivers in the in college football. And Justin Jefferson, who plays a lot of slot receiver for them, is a good one as well. But he's going to go against an Alabama defense that will probably have 8 to 10 players playing in the NFL eventually. And I think this is his biggest test and his biggest opportunity to really cement himself as the number one overall pick. Because it's easy to fall in love with him against the competition he's played to start the year. But if he does it against Alabama, it's going to be a game-changing, performance for his scouting evaluation. This is a huge opportunity for Burrow.
Bomb for Burrow. I feel like that's going to really take off on social media. If I missed it, I'm sorry. I mean, if you just started the bomb for Burrow thing.
You know, I think it got thrown around a couple times. I don't know who originally started it, but as soon as I saw it or heard it, I don't remember where it started. I was all in, because I really do love what Joe Burrow has done this year. I mean, he's just taken such a significant step forward, and he's a gamer. He's a guy that's done it against Texas. He's done it against top-level competition. He does it against Alabama, like Deshaun Watson did a few years ago, like Trevor Lawrence did just this past year. Those types of quarterbacks that can just break down, defeat an Alabama defense are NFL ready. And if he does it this week, I mean, it's next level for his evaluation.
Speaking of NFL ready, we're really going to find out this week. Ryan Finley getting the start. The Bengals making some changes at the bye week. We actually talked about that last week on the BBP. You're going to want to check that out. They're going with Ryan Finley. They benched Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton had a sluggish first 8 games. We've already gotten into all of that. But when you look at Ryan Finley versus pretty good defense, how's he going to do on Sunday?
This might be one of the worst or hardest first starts for a rookie quarterback you're really going to see, because this Ravens defense blitzes at the second highest rate in the NFL, and they're going to throw everything but the kitchen sink. They might even throw the kitchen sink at Ryan Finley this week. They're going to throw a ton of players in his face. They're going to get pressure against what is, I'll call, the worst offensive line in football. That's what Cincinnati's trotting out right now. And in the secondary, Jimmy Smith is now healthy. They traded for Marcus Peters. Earl Thomas looks good. No, better and better every week. This is such a difficult game for a young quarterback to play. And when you look at Ryan Finley and his performance at NC State, he struggled under pressure. He can't fit the ball into tight windows. He doesn't have a ton of arm talent. It's a trial by fire and then some. I do not see this going well for him, but I don't think that means you pull the plug on him. I think this is a very tough defense. If he just looks average in this game, it's a huge win. If he doesn't turn the ball over 5 times, it's a huge win, because I'm telling you right now, this Ravens defense is going to throw everything at him, and he just needs to come out alive.
when speaking of his offense right now, we heard earlier in the week, even Zach Taylor told us on Wednesday as we're recording this, AJ Green will more than likely go on Sunday. Unfortunately, didn't practice at all Wednesday. As the week goes on, it could all change. He can go limited, go full through the walkthrough. We will find out for AJ Green. Say he plays on Sunday. What difference maker does that make on the defense for the Ravens?
It's a huge difference maker because you're going to have to key on AJ Green. Without him, you can lock up Tyler Boyd. Auden Tate struggles to create separation. I think he's a great contested catch receiver, is due for a spectacular play every game, but he's not a consistent separator in the NFL like AJ Green. You get AJ Green back, it occupies Marlon Humphrey. It forces other defensive backs to make plays, and I think that's a huge boost. If they don't have him, though, it's going to be a struggle because this Ravens defense can key on, you know, worse receivers than AJ Green. The run game hasn't been there all year long. The offensive line is not going to look much better against this Ravens front, even though they have lost Terrell Suggs and Za'Darius Smith. They're still finding ways to get pressure. I think AJ Green helps things, but I don't think it really takes them to the next level. I think it is beneficial for Ryan Finley. I still think this one's going to be pretty lopsided.
You mentioned run game. Is it going to look any different this week, or is it still where it stays?
You know, the Ravens pass rush has taken a step back with Terrell Suggs gone and Za'Darius Smith, but this run defense is still one of the best in football. Brandon Williams in the middle is a big dude that really anchors that front, and at linebacker, they have some studs that really make plays. Patrick Onwuzar is one of the better run-stuffing linebackers. Not super great in coverage, but he won't have to be against Ryan Finley. I think they're going to go all in on stopping the run and won't have to do much to do so. And again, a ton of blitzes, both run and pass. It's just this defense is really in a position to succeed against a Bengals front that has really underwhelmed all year long. The extra week of preparation will help, but I'll tell you right now, Zach Taylor was focusing on Lamar Jackson more than he was that Ravens defense, because that's where the problems really lie.
When you look at Lamar Jackson, how does this defense stop him?
I don't think any defense knows really how to stop them. You know, the New England Patriots, with, you know, the best defensive play caller, the best defensive mind in football, couldn't stop him. I think the reason for that is because so many of his plays are out of structure, and the Ravens run an offense that no other NFL team runs. You know, 31 other NFL teams don't run anything near what the Ravens run. They run a ton of pistol, most pistol in the NFL, and they run a ton of quarterback design runs with a quarterback that is Michael Vick levels of elusive, and they also run a ton of option plays, speed option, triple option, not triple option, but some speed option plays and things like that. It's hard to prepare for a defense an offense like that on 1 week. Fortunately for the Bengals, they do have 2 weeks. It'll be interesting to see, or if you ask Zach Taylor, who was playing scout team quarterback these past few weeks, because it had to have been someone fast and elusive, because it's going to be very difficult to stop those out-of-structure plays in addition to the design runs from Lamar Jackson this week.
Bengals take on the Baltimore Ravens Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium. I want to do a quick look at the AFC North, since we are doing an AFC North matchup this coming Sunday. The Pittsburgh Steelers, for some reason, they're still trugging along. They're still getting it going. That defense, and we talked about it off the air a little bit, that Minkah Fitzpatrick move was a good one for them.
Yeah, right now that defense ranks inside the top six in EPA per play allowed. That's expected points added per play allowed. And I think that's been fantastic for them. Their pass rush significantly improved. Only the Philadelphia Eagles have a higher pressure percentage on defense than the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. That's massive improvement from Bud Dupree, the former first rounder out of Kentucky. And another step forward for TJ Watt, the Wisconsin edge defender, getting pressure up front is helping that secondary. And when you add in a game changer, a playmaker, a ball hawk in Minkah Fitzpatrick, you're going to get these turnovers.
And one last one, is Baker Mayfield really that bad?
I think he's a little bit... So this is what I'll say about Baker Mayfield. He's surely regressed compared to last year. I think he's a quarterback that's in the middle of what he was last year and what he is this year. I will say this, Freddie Kitchens has done him no favors, and neither has that offensive line. I think the play calling, the play design, things like that need to improve. I think when they get off game script and they have to do other things and go away from what the game plan was, they struggle to move the ball offensively. But the real problem with Baker Mayfield is that he's regressed from an accuracy standpoint. He was one of the more accurate quarterbacks in football as a rookie this year, missing more throws than we've seen, even dating back to his days at Oklahoma. If he's not going to be as accurate as he was as a rookie, that's a huge problem. But you can fix play calling with, you know, different things and maybe a different play caller. Maybe Freddie Kitchens gets moved on after this year. But I think Baker Mayfield is still a good quarterback, still has a ton of tools. It's hard because he's a mouthy quarterback. He's a loud quarterback. And when things don't go well for loud quarterbacks, they can crash and burn pretty quickly. But I think he bounces back, maybe not this year, but next.
What's up on PFF?
You know, right now on PFF, we just dropped our latest PFF mock draft. We also do power rankings every week where we look at PFF ELO and look at how teams are stacking up against each other. And we're also looking to the offseason. We're doing a lot of draft coverage right now, me and my colleague Mike Renner. We're also looking at free agency. And I've said this about the Cincinnati Bengals. This free agency class, specifically for the offensive line, has a ton of names I think the Bengals should look to go grab. Because even when Jonah Williams comes back, the first round pick out of Alabama, they're going to need some more help. The guard position doesn't look great, and right tackle doesn't look great either. I think Jonah, in addition to some options in free agency, could make sense.
Get your popcorn ready for the Tua Burrow Bowl. I know you're going to be watching it, diving in. Follow along on Twitter. Where can they find you?
PFF underscore Austin Gale. I'll be watching it live at the PFF offices. It'll be a lot of fun. Should be shooting out some clips and nuggets.
Perfect. Thanks for joining us.